This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further in Genesis, the book of beginnings, with in Egypt, family strife, the family divides, the promise renewed, and four kings against five. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you with thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace on the Lord's God. of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living that, together with them, we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who you love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was, who is, and who is yet to come. In the life of the believer, there is both the now and the not yet. What is seen is now. What is not yet seen. There is the now of faith and the not yet of sight. All Saints' Day is about the now and the not yet. The now of this life and the not yet of the life to come. Our readings from the Revelation to St. John and the Gospel of St. Matthew comfort us this All Saints' Day with the hope of the not yet, even as we live in the now. In the Revelation, St. John was given to see what is not yet seen by us, a kind of sneak peek into the heavenly realms to perceive what no eye has seen and no ear has heard. What he heard in the words just before our first reading was the number 144,000, a perfected Israel. 12 times 12 times 1,000, a perfected 12,000 from each of the tribes of an Israel not known in the Old Testament. The tribe of Dan is missing in the list. The rabbinic tradition held that the anti-Messiah would come from the tribe of Dan. In Dan's place, there is restored the tribe of Joseph. In Old Testament Israel, Joseph is represented by his two grandsons. But in this heavenly Israel, Joseph now takes his place with his brothers. The Israel that John saw is no Israel that ever was or ever will be in this life. That's what John heard. What John saw was a great multitude no one could number. This is how the perfected Israel looked to John. People from every nation, tribe, people, and language of the earth. An inclusive Israel, a Catholic Israel, standing before Christ the Lamb, waving palm branches at an eternal feast of tabernacles, crying out with one voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And with them, angels and elders and four living ones who represent the whole created order, worshiping God with the perfected sevenfold praise to which we just added our voices. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. The question that surrounds what is heard and what is seen by John is this: who are they? Who is this perfected Israel? Who is this great white-robed multitude of worshipers with palm branches? And the answer: these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For John's hearers, they were the fellow believers who died confessing Jesus to be the Christ and Lord. Members of the seven congregations of Asia Minor who were suffering persecution, hardship, even death for the name of Jesus. The vision is intended to comfort. They died in great tribulation, but they are fine. They are safe. Sheltered by God Himself, shepherded by the Lamb whose blood cleanses them. Every sadness and sorrow is ended for them. Every tear has been wiped away for them. And yet, for John's readers, for those who received this letter that we call the Revelation, the time of tribulation continued, and it continues even unto this day, even also for us. And we are not immune or safe from tribulation here in a secular America, one that is becoming increasingly so over the last 10 years, as George Howley illustrated in his lectures to us this week. For those who bear the name of Christ, it's not about a political clout. It's about the cross of Jesus and the suffering that necessarily comes with the confession of his name. When Jesus stood on the mountain to teach his disciples, he was preparing them and us for the realities of living in the in-between time of the now and the not yet. When he pronounced his nine benedictions over his disciples, the benedictions were all couched in the form of now and not yet. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, those who are now poor before God, who have nothing to offer God, who, as Luther would say, are beggars before him, are blessed. But wait, there's more. The kingdom of heaven will be theirs. Now they are poor, then they will inherit the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now the disciple mourns, lives under the weight of sin, of death, of suffering, of loss. But wait, there's more. They will be comforted, but not now. Now they must mourn and grieve with hope for the day when God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now is the time of meekness, humility, lowliness, of turning the other cheek, of blessing an enemy, of enduring hardship. But wait, there's more. They shall inherit the earth. Not now. Now they must endure. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why do they hunger and thirst? They don't have any righteousness. They can't cook up any righteousness of their own. They are hungry, thirsty beggars. But wait, there's more. They will be filled. Their emptiness will be filled, but not fully now. Now they must feel the pangs of hunger and thirst for a righteousness that only God can supply, and of which we again, for the fourth time this week, receive a first course of in the feast laid before us this morning. Blessed are the merciful, now, who give without gain, who look with compassion on the other and not to themselves. I'm looking at you, deaconess candidates. But there's more. They will receive mercy, more than they could have ever given. They will receive, but not yet. Blessed are the pure in heart, who seek God and his kingdom, which they do not now see, with the promise they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who stand in the breach and take the crossfire, those who reconcile enemies and bring peace. They will be called sons of God, just like the Prince of Peace who is blessing them. How blessed are those whose feet are shod with the gospel of peace, who speak of peace this world does not know and cannot have apart from God. I'm looking at my brother pastors and those whom we are forming to be so. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Seriously, the persecuted are blessed? Now, but wait, there's more. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, but not yet. Then comes the ninth benediction, and here the verbs change up, as do the tenses. And it is that Jesus turns his eyes and looks directly at all of us. This last has you in the crosshairs, so to speak. Blessed are you, yes, he is speaking to you. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Yes, you heard that right. You are now a marked person, marked by the cross as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You can expect trouble. From this mountain on which Jesus is making his sermon, he can already see the mountain of his cross. Calvary, where he was persecuted in order to fulfill all righteousness, that the kingdom of heaven may come to the earth. It is yours now by faith, but with persecutions. As Christ suffered, so also must the members of the body suffer. The first disciples suffered at the hands of both church and state, persecuted by the government and by the religious leaders. Don't expect anything less in this great tribulation called life. To be in Christ is to be crucified with him. Yes, raised and glorified with him, but first crucified with him. Your sufferings for righteousness' sake are his sufferings. This is why we rejoice in our sufferings, as Christ works in us endurance, character, and hope. And we recognize that these are simply the labor pains of a new creation in his birthing and do not compare with the glory to come. So know this,
Great is your reward in heaven. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will inherit the earth. You will receive the righteousness you hunger and thirst for. You will receive mercy from a merciful God. You will be called sons of God. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Finally, let me point you to the metallic figures that are here on the candlesticks around the altar, figures of the saints. And also, let me point you back to the baptismal font, which we pass and are coming and are going from this place. Those who have gone before us in the faith, who have died in the faith, now have all of this in a way we do not yet have. Their now is our not yet. And yet, in a wonderful and mysterious way, we are united with them in Christ. They and we together worship the Lamb whose blood washes our sins and makes our robes of righteousness white, even white as snow. And baptism. Baptism is your death certificate. Or don't you know that those who've been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? In baptism, God declares you dead. Dead to sin, dead to death, dead to the law, but alive to him in Christ Jesus. Death, as we experience it, is simply catching up with your baptism. And the not yet of our faith becomes the eternal now of life in God. In the name of Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
In our prayers, we give thanks together with Connor and Emily Waltz as they rejoice in the safe delivery of a daughter, Sylvia Grace. Rejoicing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the saints of every generation who have been led to life eternal by Christ our Lord, let us call on the Lord for ourselves, for the church throughout the world, and for all people. For the church, that clothed in the pure linen of our Lord's righteousness, we might ever sing the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations of the earth, that God would establish peace and stability and grant good government in every land, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the preservation of God's creation, that we would use all that he has given us as wise stewards, knowing that we must give an account to him who of all things belong, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Connor and Emily, in their time of rejoicing, asking that God would ever keep Sylvia Grace in the holy ark of the Christian Church, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who struggle under burdens, for the lonely and the oppressed, the sick and the hospitalized, the poor and the needy, the dying and the mourning, that Christ would be their joy and sorrow, their health and sickness, and their life and death, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have departed this life and are numbered among the countless multitude who abide in the Lord's nearer presence, let us give thanks and praise, that the Lord would one day grant us a place with them at the feast which knows no end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Amen.
blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Amen, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take away our sin.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.